Let's see, it's Sunday. It's 11 July. Time for the CG report. Your eyeball in exchange for cryptocurrency. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. All right, let's see here. Before we get into our first category, which is always Israel, I have something that I'd like to share from my friend Lisa in Australia. And this has been confirmed by several articles that I've got since then. She said, today was the last day of freedom in Australia. From now on, no one can enter a store or business, public transportation, etc., without using the QR code that has contact details, full name, phone number, and email address. If we don't sign in with a phone, we have to sign in manually. Police are using this QR code to follow people. Prime Minister Morrison promised this wouldn't happen, yet it has happened in Western Australia and Queensland, where I live. And I got some articles that they're saying it's the brave new world. It's you can no longer go into a store and browse. One of the news report right from Australia that I watched said that you can no longer go into a store and just browse. You have to go in and buy your stuff and leave. It's the most bizarre thing that's happening over there. I hadn't even heard of this until she sent it to me, and I thought maybe she was drinking cough syrup or something. I mean, I couldn't even imagine it. And then sure enough, this is what's going on in Australia right now. They've lost complete freedom. You have to have a QR code everywhere you go. And a guy like me, I don't have a phone. I'm going to have to sign in manually everywhere I go. And this, she said, that's coming to America. We'll see. We've got the ACLU, which, although they're a bunch of lefties, will fight against that. And we also have something called the Second Amendment, where people will fight against that if necessary. I know that's going to happen. They're threatening this nation, and there are people in this nation that won't take it. So we'll see where it goes. But I want you to know this is right now in Australia. Okay, from Israel today, from the Jerusalem Post. First all-female tank crew to be stationed on the Egyptian border. A tank entirely staffed by female IDF soldiers is to be sent to the Egyptian border for the first time in Israel's history. The tank, which is set to be stationed on the Egyptian border in the coming days, will be operated entirely by female IDF soldiers as well as a female commander. This news comes despite the IDF's continued uncertainty about whether or not the latest pilot program to integrate women into the armored corps has been successful or not. The first pilot program, which was aimed at training women to operate tanks, concluded in June 2018, with four female soldiers graduating as tank commanders and two-thirds of the overall program successfully completing the course. However, in April 2019, the military announced that despite the seeming success of the Triad program, it would not be continuing with the women who are qualified. They would not be permitted to continue working with the Armored Corps. An investigation was launched in early 2020 into whether or not the results of the trial program had been intentionally distorted to make it seem like it had been successful. In November 2020, the IDF began preparations for a second round of the trial program, with several changes, including the height and weight restrictions on the women and the duration of the operational missions they will be participating in. So they had been fudging the numbers, apparently, in Israel to get this woman crew going. They found out that it wasn't working out, and so they canceled it, and now they're trying it again. So that's the status on that. I've got an article maybe next week, if I can fit it in, about something related to that in our own military. It's one of these things where you want to shoot yourself in the foot in order to promote this type of agenda, and people will lose their lives because of it. But we'll see where it goes. From Weasel Zippers, Yale student government condemns Israel for genocide. The Yale College Council on Sunday adopted a resolution condemning Israel for committing human rights violations. The student leaders passed the Statement of Condemnation, a joint resolution with Yale's Middle Eastern and North African Cultural Center, Yalis for Palestine, and the Arab Students Association, after weeks of opposition from Jewish students. The measure denounces injustice, genocide, and ethnic cleansing occurring in Palestine and claims Israel is an apartheid state. You want to know something about Israel? They are not an apartheid state. These people are just college students that have been told these things. They accept it at face value. They have no idea what apartheid means, what the people in South Africa used to go through. Israel is the most integrated society in the Middle East. They have in their own army, they're not required to be there, but Arabs can volunteer and participate in the army, and those that do have the highest regard for the uniform that they wear. They have people from Islam, etc. They've got all of these people that are participating in the army, that participate in the society. There is no apartheid there. I'm sorry, it's just not the case. It goes on, we stand against the discriminatory application of the law that strips Palestinians of basic rights. And the statement reads, we stand against the apartheid and the persecution of Palestinians and stand for peace and the freedom of the Palestinian people from violent military occupation. Every single thing that they said in that is untrue. Everything. From All Israel. New COVID cases yesterday, this is 4 days ago, maybe 5 days ago, jumped to 501. Highest daily caseload in almost 4 months. After several weeks of daily caseloads, between 200 and 300 confirmed cases, Monday saw an increase of about 45%. Some options on the table include dispensing a third dose of the vaccine, bringing back the green passport system in some form, and limiting larger gatherings. So this is what Israel's going through, and right now they have not locked anybody down, and they haven't taken these actions, but this is what they are considering. From the Jerusalem Post, COVID. If morbidity rises dramatically, airport may close again. There's a possibility of the airport closing again, Ayelet Shaked says, as COVID-19 cases rise in Israel. From the Epic Times, Pfizer jab effectivity against COVID-19 infection drops to 64%. Israel Health Ministry says. So they've got these people that have taken the jab, only 64% are effective. The ability of the Pfizer-BioNTech mRNA vaccine to prevent infections and prevent symptomatic COVID-19 has dropped to 64%. There was also a smaller drop in the vaccine's efficacy in preventing hospitalizations and more serious illness. So it's just not working out over there. Vaccine Reaction says, the underlying assumption behind the Israel government's renewed push to vaccinate is that Pfizer's BNT162b2 will be effective in curbing the rise of the SARS-CoV-2 Delta variant. But that assumption may be flawed, as evidenced by the fact that an estimated 40 to 50% of the new coronavirus infections in Israel are in people who have already been vaccinated for COVID-19. From Ynet. Nahal Brigade commander dies after collapsing during fitness training. Now, they did not explain why he died. You probably know what I'm thinking, and so I'm not going to say it, but here we go. Colonel Sharon Osman passes away surprisingly days after taking the infantry unit's top post. Osman, who only took up the post on Monday, received immediate medical attention but was pronounced dead shortly afterward, according to an IDF spokesperson's unit statement. So if you know what I'm thinking, I believe that was probably the case. People in his age range that have gotten certain medications recently are having heart problems. I won't say any more than that because I don't want to get banned from YouTube for something, but you probably know what I'm thinking. Now, some news concerning the state of Christianity today. I would like to congratulate Jonathan Ryu. He finished all of the Genesis sermons this past Monday. Okay, this every week it seems like people are going through Genesis and they're finishing up the entire series and they're moving on to something else. He says that he's going to continue on to Exodus. And then also this past week, Al, who's been here a couple times, he's just up in St. Pete, Clearwater area. Anyway, what's that? Yeah, another country, exactly. He just finished Genesis as well, and he says he's going to go on to Ruth. So we have some people that are finishing all of these 130 Genesis sermons. It's rather impressive. All right, from the BBC, Methodist Church, this is in the UK, Methodist Church allows same-sex marriage in momentous vote, as if this is a good thing. A vote to change the definition of marriage at the Methodist Conference overwhelmingly passed by 254 in favor with 46 against. Imagine that. the Methodist Church passed two resolutions, one officially approving the blessing of same-sex unions and the other recognizing cohabitating couples. Same-sex marriage is not allowed in the Church of England or the RCC. However, it is welcomed in the Scottish Episcopal Church, the United Reformed Church, and the Quakers in Britain. So, yes, the Quakers. My mom is surprised about that because my father's side of the family were Quakers all the way back. They literally came with William Penn back in the 1600s. They've been here ever since, and my grandfather was a Quaker, and it's surprising to hear that they have gone this direction, but it's actually not surprising because these things have just infecting the entire world. From the Christian Headlines, Bishop of Liverpool, Church of England should bless same-sex unions by adopting a gender-neutral marriage canon. This is from the Church of England. Bishop Paul Bayes spoke to a national conference for revisionist activists in the COE, saying, "I want to see a gender-neutral marriage canon, such as they have in the Episcopal Church in the United States or the Scottish Episcopal Church. And as a necessary but not sufficient first step, I want to see conscientious freedom for the church's ministers and local leaders to honor, recognize, and yes, indeed, to bless same-sex unions, whether civil partnerships or civil marriages," he contended. The group Bayes addressed was the Movement of Supporting Anglicans for an Inclusive Church. The movement aims to have a presence in each diocese of the COE, where it will work with local clergy and laity on projects that promote inclusion for all those who are currently marginalized by the Church of England, whether that be due to race, ability, sexuality, gender, or gender identity. So they're saying that this is important as race and people are being marginalized because of their race, which is totally untrue. They have bishops that are black in the COE. But they're using this as a foot in the door to introduce this agenda into the COE. Now, what should happen is the bishops should come together and they should expel this person from the COE. But that's not going to happen. And this is going to continue to snowball. And in very short amount of time, I don't want to make any predictions, but very soon they are going to be following this path in the COE. Okay. He says, "I want to see an abolition of the foolishness that sees the call to ordain ministry as a call to a state morally higher than that of the baptized, as though baptism called us to lesser holiness." I don't know what he's talking about when he says that. He's just absolutely crazy. "I want to see an end to LGBTQ plus people hiding who they are for fear of being exposed to conversion therapy or to being forbidden to minister in churches." Well, it's forbidden in churches because the Bible forbids it. This is why we have these rules, okay? But this guy is an infection. He is getting into the church, and he is going to cause damage to the Church of England. He says, "I want to see an end to the inquisition of ordinance about their private lives." You can't have any morality or any basis for morality in a church anymore. That is what is being said with these people. From the Christian Post, Presbyterian Church in America takes first vote on banning ordination of openly gay men. Can you imagine that? That is the first good news that we have had out of the Presbyterian Church in eons. I'll read it again. Presbyterian Church in America takes vote on banning ordination of openly gay men. The resolution to change this rule, Overture 23, was passed 1400 to 400 at the denomination's 48th annual convention. The amended rule will go to local church bodies for a vote before the second round of convention balloting next year, following which the language would be placed in the PCA's Book of Church Order. Well, that's where the problem is when you have a denomination, is they have, instead of the Bible as their guide, they have books of church order. At least there are people that are holding on to the biblical morality in the Presbyterian Church, but you can see that there were 400 out of 1,800 that voted to not go with this, which tells you the infection is set in. And instead of saying you 400 are no longer allowed to be ministers in this church, they're just going to let them continue, and eventually it will be this denomination as well. So you can see how these things go. From ABC, as recently discovered unmarked indigenous graves in Canada nears 1,000, activists demand justice. Well, I would agree with that. The RCC has now been found out to have killed over 1,000 indigenous children in their schools and in their, you know, they have these missions that they set up back in the 1800s and the 1700s. And they went in there and they were doing things to these children and then they were killing them. Over 1,000. This is the Roman Catholic Church. Okay, this has been going on all over the world, but they are finding this out in Canada right now. They found one place with 275 children that had been murdered and buried, and then they found another, and they found another, and they're almost up to 1,000 children. Now, here is the result of that. Next article, Breitbart. Radio host says, burn the churches down as more church fires reported. A Canadian radio personality called for the burning of churches as news outlets have reported more Catholic and Anglican churches being burned in parts of the country, primarily on First Nations reserves. Radio host Nesta Matthews called for the burning of churches and for arrests in response to unmarked graves being found at a Canadian residential school on First Nations reserves. Okay, because the Roman Catholic Church has been doing what they have been doing all these years, now all churches are brought into that umbrella, and everybody in Christianity is now the enemy. And they're calling for churches. Anybody. It doesn't matter what. Just burn them down. Gatekeepers. This is one of the stupidest titles I've ever seen, so I thought that I would read it to you. Gatekeeper says, we don't need Trump to save America. Just Jesus. I don't understand people that say things like that. Yes, Jesus is the one that saves. But Jesus appoints leaders of a nation. He expects citizens of a nation to vote. You're not going to get who you want in there to run a nation, and Jesus is not going to come back and sit in Washington, D.C. He gives us the free will to act or to not act. And so when you see that type of nonsense where somebody says, all I need is Jesus, that's true. All we need is Jesus. But as we live in this world, we have to go to the shopping store and we have to buy food. Jesus is not going to feed us at our dinner table tonight. If we want to have a government that runs properly, we have to go out and we have to vote. Because Jesus is not going to come and run the nation for us. Use your common sense when you read articles about things like that. Ignore them. It's people trying to be overly pious, and in the end, all they do is damage the society in which they live. That is all that's happening. Okay, some news from the Mideast and Africa today. From CNBC, U.S. and U.K. embassies in the UAE face backlash after flying Rainbow Pride flag in historical regional first. Our embassies in the Middle East are sticking this in the face of people that do not want this in their nations. They have a right to their nations. They have a right to conduct their affairs in those nations the way they want. And when we do something like that, we are saying to them that your values do not matter. It's an embarrassment. Breitbart, Biden admin beyond fed up with Yemen's Houthis after delisting them as terrorists. Remember what I said when he did this? I said this was a bad move. Trump had them listed as terrorists. He was securing the people of Saudi Arabia. He was securing the people of the greater area and from the Iranian threat. But as a snub to President Trump, they went in and the first thing they did was delist these people as terrorists. And now they have all kinds of trouble over there. Exactly what I said would happen. The Biden admin said it is beyond fed up with the brutal attacks in Yemen by the Iran-supported Houthi insurgency. The very same group Biden acted swiftly to delist as terrorists when he took office. State Department spokesman Ned Price expressed frustration with the Houthis' refusal to negotiate for peace. What do they think? What are these people thinking? Instead of engaging in diplomacy, the Houthis launched a vicious offensive to capture Marib, the last major city in northern Yemen held by the internationally recognized elected government. We are horrified by the repeated attacks on Marib. We strongly condemn the Houthi missile attack on a residential neighborhood in Marib. It took civilian lives, including the life of a child. The Houthis have showered Marib with indiscriminate missile fire, killing hundreds of civilians, including young children. As Price indicated, children were among the dead and wounded from the latest Houthi missile attack, while the insurgency claimed it was targeting only Saudi-backed forces and mercenaries. Now, you don't see any of this on CNN and MSNBC, who highlighted every time Israel did anything over the past conflict, they were excoriated for it. And you don't see any of that about what's going on in Yemen right now. The Marib offensive intensified dramatically last week, ending when the Houthis suffered heavy casualties and pulled back. Yemeni officials warned that the Houthis are regrouping, bringing in reinforcements, and preparing to attack Marib again. Price said the Houthi assault on Marib is exacerbating the humanitarian crisis faced by the people of Yemen, already among the worst humanitarian catastrophes in the world. The Biden admin rushed to delist the Houthis as terrorists in early 2021, ignoring warnings that the brutal Iran-backed insurgency would take advantage of Biden's concessions to renew their bloody war for control of Yemen. Critics saw it as a cynical political move to curry favor with the Houthis' patrons in Tehran, since Biden's team was eager to reverse President Trump's withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal. The Biden policy was an immediate disaster, as the Houthis pocketed everything the U.S. gave them and hardly skipped a beat before blocking and stealing humanitarian aid, bombing civilian targets beyond Yemen's borders, launching terrorist attacks, and firing missiles into schools filled with children. Iranian arms shipment to the bloody rebels continued, including ballistic missiles and armed drones. The Biden admin complained helplessly after each new atrocity, all the way up to Price's fuming that his department is fed up with the savage Marib offensive, which began in early February. February, right? It was days after Trump left office, within days of Biden delisting the Houthis as terrorists and withdrawing American support for the Saudi-led coalition against them. When I went into the U.S. Air Force, they had a term for people that went in that had not yet been issued their uniforms. Did they have a name for them in the Army?
Navy.
Navy, or Navy, you're Navy, and we got some Army. Did we have names for people like that? Did you in the Army? We called them pingers, okay? They walked in, they were rainbows because they all had their various colored clothes on, and 2 days later they had no hair and they all looked identical. But they were also called pingers because they didn't know what they were doing. And that is what we have in the White House right now. An entire White House, an entire administration of pingers from all Israel. South Korea accepts COVID. Does everybody remember when the Palestinians were offered the vaccines from Israel, what they did? I read it 2 weeks ago. They turned them down because they're too close to expiring. It's a Jewish conspiracy to kill them all, when they are using those same vaccines on the children in Israel. But listen to this. South Korea accepts Israel's COVID vaccine swap that the PA rejected. So South Korea says they're okay. Israel signed a deal to transfer 700,000 soon-to-expire Pfizer COVID vaccines to South Korea, who, in return, will supply the same quantity of vaccine doses to Israel from their own Pfizer order in the fall. Why do they have expiration dates on things? It's because that's when they're good till, right? If you accept the premise of the vaccine. I'm not getting into that. I'm just simply saying that this is showing you the depravity of the Palestinians. That's what I'm highlighting here. The vaccine doses being shipped to South Korea are just one portion of Israel's 1 million unused doses due to expire by the end of the month. The vaccines purchased from Pfizer last year are worth millions of dollars. Israel's PM Bennett has been negotiating the deal with the South Korean government over the last few days, along with Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla, and is the first of its kind. Bennett referred to the exchange as a win-win deal for both nations. And the Palestinians who want their vaccines don't have any. As we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. From IntelliNews, Mongolians Naadam Council. That's their big festival. They have it year after year, and I used to report on it every year. They did not have it last year. It's canceled by coronavirus lockdown. It deals a harsh blow to the sport. Mongolia's most important annual festival, Naadam, has been held every year for the last 800 years. But it has been laid low by the coronavirus pandemic for a second year in a row now. The news will come as a bitter blow for Mongolians, not just because the event is a major tourist attraction that earns the country hundreds of millions of dollars a year, but mainly because it has become deeply ingrained in the country's culture. The first Naadam was commissioned in 1206 by Genghis Khan and has been held almost every year ever since. The Mongolians from across the country travel to the capital of Ulaanbaatar to celebrate, meet relatives, and compete in the three manly games. Can you imagine saying that in the U.S. right now? These are manly games. I really enjoyed reading that last Okay, the book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? From Bloomberg, Sam Altman. Anybody heard of Sam Altman? Sam Altman wants to scan your eyeball in exchange for cryptocurrency. Tell me if this doesn't sound like end time stuff here. Listen to this. Sam Altman, the former head of the Silicon Valley business incubator Y Combinator, is one of three founders of the company WorldCoin. Among the many parts of its plan, WorldCoin is designed an orb-shaped device that would scan a person's iris to construct a unique personal identifier. Altman said in an interview that he conceived the idea in late 2019. The intention was to use cryptocurrency to spread money around equitably, inspired by the trendy economic theory known as universal basic income. I've been very interested in things like universal basic income and what's going to happen to global wealth redistribution and how we can do that better. Is there a way we can use technology to do that at a global scale? In a 2019 interview with economist Tyler Cohen, Altman discussed how a system that could distribute money to everyone could circumvent the need for government redistribution. With WorldCoin, the startup promises a new global digital currency that will launch by giving a share to every single person on Earth. The company aims to help economies transition to cryptocurrencies through a novel approach. My mom's laughing over there. A dedicated hardware device ensuring both humaneness and uniqueness of everybody signing up while maintaining their privacy. Yeah, I bet. And the overall transparency of a permissionless blockchain. The device is a silver-colored spherical gizmo the size of a basketball that can be carried around and used to scan people's irises in order to ascertain their unique identities. Iris scanning is an essential part of the plan because it can prevent people from trying to register multiple times to defraud the system. He's also aware of the privacy implications of handing over biometric information to a tiny startup and said WorldCoin will make the process as transparent as possible so users can see how the data is used. He said the iris scan will produce a unique numerical code for each person and that the image is then deleted and never stored. I'm telling you, we are heading right into the end times. I saw that and I thought, wow, that is just like, it's what? That's exactly what I was thinking. We could use this for voting, but that would be racist. I'm sorry, you can't do that. It's okay for distributing people money, but it is not okay for voting. So please drop that idea, Jim Dwyer. Thank you. Okay, it's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. From Bloomberg, California's drought is so bad that almond farmers are ripping out trees. Acres and acres of almond trees gone. BBC, Lebanon faces disastrous medicine shortages. An association representing Lebanese firms that import medicines has warned of potentially disastrous shortages as the country's economic crisis deepens. Some healthcare companies have already run out of medicines needed to treat cancer and heart disease. The association said that if nothing was done, the situation would be catastrophic by the end of the month. It urged Lebanon's central bank to release dollars to pay for drugs. The group said foreign suppliers were owed more than $600 million in accumulated dues since December. The economic crisis has left half the population living in poverty and prompted mass protests demanding the removal of a political elite accused of corruption, mismanagement, and negligence. Must be Democrats. From the AP, Missouri Hospital CEO, vaccine opponents should shut up. This guy says that anybody that opposes vaccines should shut up. Now, listen to his thinking here. One Missouri hospital official is telling anyone making disparaging remarks about the COVID-19 vaccine to shut up as state officials ask for federal help dealing with the surge in cases that has some counties urging new precautions. Deep vaccine resistance has allowed the Delta variant, first identified in India, to take hold in the state, straining hospitals, especially in the Springfield area. If you are making wildly disparaging comments about the vaccine and have no public health expertise, there you go, that's what he's saying, you may be responsible for someone's death. Shut up, tweeted the CEO of Cox Health in Springfield. Well, as far as I know, there have been doctors since the very beginning of this that have spoken up. Should they shut up? Because they have been shut up. They've been shut up by every possible social media site that you could believe. Next article from Newsmax. mRNA vaccine pioneer. This guy developed it. Silenced by big tech. I guess they shut him up. Dr. Robert Malone, a scientist who credits himself as the inventor of the mRNA vaccine technology, has warned that vaccines using this technology carry risks, but those risks have been downplayed due to a media censoring campaign. Now, I don't know if I'm going to get banned for telling you this, but I want you to know what's going on in the world until the day they ban me. I just don't understand how somebody can say, you have to shut up, when the guy that developed the thing is saying there's problems here. From Live Law, man allegedly goes blind due to COVID vaccine. Allahabad HC directs DM to decide on wife's representation seeking compensation. That's in India. Axios, COVID plummets as leading cause of death in the United States. COVID-19 dropped to the seventh leading cause of death in the United States in June, a marked decline from January 2021 when it was number one. And that means there are six things that are higher that Joe Biden should be asking people to go out and knock on doors about instead of this, right? Because they are sending people out from the U.S. government all around this nation, knocking on doors and asking why you haven't gotten your vaccine. What about the first six? That's what I want to know. From the Metro, unusual mutation in new COVID variant could make it resistant to vaccines. Telegraph, Singapore plans to stop counting daily COVID-19 cases and treat virus-like flu. You got the sniffles? What do? You label it as the sniffles. From 100 PFU, does anybody know what that means? 100% fed up. From 100 PFU, Canadian medical officer says parental permission is not required when vaccinating their children. So in Canada, your children can be vaccinated without your permission. We saw that in Pennsylvania just a couple weeks ago. The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. From Breitbart, troops at Fort Bliss forced to wear IDs with race and social class during diversity training. Representative Dan Crenshaw this week revealed several instances where service members were forced to classify themselves by race and socioeconomic status during diversity and inclusion training. In one instance, Crenshaw said soldiers were forced to wear personal identification badges that listed their race, ethnicity, social class, and other things during training at Fort Bliss in Texas. Crenshaw said the badges reduced soldiers to a list of characteristics that have nothing to do with their service or their training or the content of their character. Most soldiers do not believe that they are the sum of identity groups, and it's absurd that our military is instructing people to view themselves and others that way. In the SEAL teams, our bond is forged in large part by our common history, our ethos, and our trial-by-fire training. We never asked each other for a social class or other identity groups because that would be ridiculous. Amen. From the Daily Wire. You know, she's got a pretty good brain on her head. I grew up watching her on something. I don't remember what, but you would think that she'd be a real lefty, and she's not. Christy Alley warns modern entertainment has U.S. on road to pedophilia acceptance. In a series of tweets that had several left-wing media outlets fuming, actress Christy Alley shared her belief that the U.S. is on the road to accepting pedophilia. Was watching TV, she said. We've gone too far, in my opinion. I feel sorry for our children. Their exposure to everything perverse on every kind of screen is mind-boggling. And even more tragic, it's being hyped as normal. From Breitbart. Disney removes ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from park greeting to be more gender inclusive. Backlash ensues. From Tsarazim, Russian high-end food retailer pulls gay ad after outrage from Russian society. Good. The people don't want that shoved down their throat in Russia, and the people pulled the ad. Whoops, we made a mistake. Some other news from around the world. And before we get into that, please be sure to check out the Superior Word Sermons. A little bit of the Word of God will go a long way in your life. From Zero Hedge, huge economic boost. New West Virginian law makes gun and ammo purchases tax-free. West Virginia lawmakers have eliminated the sales tax on all small firearms and ammunition and are also offering weapon manufacturers tax credits in hopes of sparking an economic boom. The state hopes to get in on the action of record gun sales and millions of first-time gun owners sparked by the virus pandemic and social unrest of 2020. With millions of new gun owners, parts and ammo will be needed, and West Virginia plans to capitalize on that. The law also promotes tax credits to gun and ammo manufacturers. If they do a 1 million piece of equipment, we will tax it as if it's $50,000 piece of equipment. That's to encourage investment in the state. Already, one bullet manufacturer, Ranger Scientific, recently announced it would be building an ammo plant in the state because of the new law. The new plant will provide 400 jobs to residents in Montgomery. It makes West Virginia the single best place to locate arms or ammunition manufacturing plant. Good job. Hats off to him. I saw something yesterday. I may read the article next week, but I'll tell you about it, is that they passed a law in California, or there was a law and there was a countersuit and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, a judge came down and said that the people can sue gun companies for crimes committed by guns. That will end the gun industry tomorrow. You know what? The same thing. Use the logic now. Somebody goes in his car and he runs into a group of 500 people, runs them all over. Can you sue the car company? Because
no, exactly.
You see what I'm saying, though?
Yes.
These guns are made for a purpose. It's not to go out and arbitrarily kill a bunch of people. That's not what they are made for. If they are used for that, that's what happens. It happens with cars. It happens with all kinds of things. Remember when the guy was taking and putting cyanide or something into the aspirin tablets years ago? What was it? J&J. Okay. Remember that happened? That's not what it was intended for. But the same thing would be saying, oh, well, J&J made the aspirin that had the cyanide in it, so you can sue them for what happened to their medicines. It's insane. Epic times. San Jose to become first city to require gun insurance and fee. In a unanimous vote on June 29th, the San Jose City Council decided to move forward with two approaches on gun regulation. One is to require gun owners to have liability insurance to cover their firearms. The second is to require them to pay a fee to compensate taxpayers for the cost of gun-related incidents. They found that gun-related incidents cost the city roughly $63 million every year in the way of paying. Now listen, this is what they say. Gun-related instances are the reason why we have to pay these bills. Police officers, medics, and other expenses. So it's saying if we didn't have guns, we wouldn't have any police officers, and we wouldn't have any medics, and we wouldn't have all these other things. They're taking one thing and lumping it into another category in order to take away your rights. They believe that having gun owners pay a fee will relieve public expenses like medical and police responses. It seems vice versa. The new laws that are coming out, it's more protective towards criminals than citizens. It does nothing to protect the people, and it only encourages more criminals. Because the criminals do crimes with guns, and they all know guns are illegal. Because owning a firearm is under the federal regulation, local police might have no way of enforcing the new law and checking who has guns. Next up, a tax on sober drivers to pay for the actions of drunk ones. Obviously, that's not true, but it just makes no sense. None of this makes any sense, what is going on in this world. From Zero Hedge. Venezuela to chop off 6 zeros from the Bolivar in third currency redenomination in 13 years. This is the third time they've done this. And this is what these people up in Congress, the socialists, want. It'll work this time. It hasn't worked ever in human history, but it'll work this time. A single $1 million Bolivar note would not currently be enough to buy a single cup of coffee, as a million Bolivars is worth just over 32 cents U.S., the vast majority of working class people still need cash for daily transactions, including for public transit or local grocery and goods stores. Venezuela is preparing once again to eliminate zeros from the national currency in order to simplify daily transactions that hardly fit on a calculator or that require swiping the card several times to complete a single purchase. Starting in August, the central bank will cut 6 zeros from the Bolivar. Thus, a single dollar would cost 3.2 bolivars. Now, remember, this is the third time they've done this. instead of the current whopping 3,219,000. The central bank move to delete a bunch of zeros is beginning to appear a semi-regular intervention, given that stemming back to 2008, a total of 8 zeros have been progressively removed. After the second longest stretch of hyperinflation in the nation's history, annual inflation is now at 2,339% a year, compared to more than 300,000% in 2019. 300,000%. Now it's only down to 2,339%. From Time Out, every new play on Broadway this fall, anybody hear this?
No.
Every new play on Broadway this fall is by a black playwright. For the past year, the Broadway community has had two pressing questions on its mind. The first was when theater on Broadway would be possible again at all and under what conditions. The second was whether, when Broadway did return, it would address major concerns about racial representation and inequality. Seven new productions of plays are scheduled to begin in 2021, and all seven of those are by black playwrights. So they don't have racial representation, do they? They don't have it at all, because you're picking one group of people and saying, you get to do it. Mail Online. Decision to ban soul cap swim caps for natural black hair at the Olympics because they do not follow the natural form of the head is slammed as racist. Okay, you have certain standards in the Olympics, and everybody has to meet those standards. Has everybody seen this their whole life? Now it's racist to have those standards. From Nat Geo. This is a tweet from National Geographic. Scientists found that vulnerable people and communities of color are disproportionately exposed to air pollution from fireworks celebrations. Epic Times. More than 80 shot, 14 dead over July 4th weekend in Chicago. CNN. At least 150 people fatally shot in more than 400 shootings over the 4th of July weekend. The article talks all about gun crime, but every one of them was in a liberal city, minus maybe one or two. Every one of them. San Francisco Chronicle, Oakland police overwhelmed with July 4th violence, 12 hours of nonstop chaos, it says. Epic Times, judge orders, this is a judge, Epic Times, judge orders Minneapolis to hire more police officers amid crime surge. Okay, got a question for you. Who said it? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Nobody grew up when I grew up, apparently. Nobody? Elvis Costello. Listen, I don't want to just give you a lot of stuff from old people, white guys that died 1,000 years ago, okay? Elvis Costello. Anybody know that song? As I walk through this wicked world, searching for light in the darkness of insanity. Just think of Jesus. That's not what he's singing about, but when I hear a song like that, I put Jesus in my head. Okay, got a lesser here for you. Should women be driving in tanks? Now, this is written by a Jew, okay? If it was him. They sent me two, and I picked one of them, but he's Jewish. Should women be driving in tanks up and down sand dunes and banks? The tests, they all passed, but their scores came out last. Is someone trying to lower their ranks? Okay, we got a bit of irony here for you today. From PJ Media. Criminals attempt to rob news crew while it is interviewing city's violence protection director. That's the third time in 3 years I've seen one of these. And then from Fox News, to catch a predator host, Chris Hansen has a warrant out for his arrest after skipping court. Yes, to catch a predator, he's out catching people and they, okay, there you go. You finally got that. Such is the world that we live in. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.